Let's pray. God, in these next few moments, I pray that there'd be less and less of me and more of you, for you are a rock and redeemer. Amen. In Luke's gospel, Jesus tells a story of a fruitless fig tree, once planted with promise, only to grow barren and brittle. The landowner in the parable has returned to its empty branches for 3 years. With patience worn thin and hope withered, he commands the gardener to cut it down, seeing it as a liability to the soil. But where the landowner sees waste, the gardener perceives possibility that lies fallow. The gardener has learned from the land that life flows in cycles, budding, flourishing, pruning, death. And so he requests one more year. Cutting down the earth with a shovel, he loosens the clots that have settled like stone so that when water comes, the earth will receive it like a soft kiss. He blankets the roots with manure so that growth can be studied by hope. And then he lets go. What happens to the fig tree? Does it live? Does it die? Does it bear any fruit? We don't know. And so if we can't read the end of this story, then we must write it with our own lives, because we know what it feels like to be the fig tree, to be deemed worthless, to be weary enough to believe that we don't deserve to be well. And perhaps we also know what it's like to see the world through the eyes of the landowner, calculating worth based on what we produce, what we accomplish, what we can provide. Can we cultivate the vision of the great gardener, the one who sees you for what you're becoming, the one who tends and prunes, nourishes, and lets go? Perhaps for us, the fruit is not the ending. The fruit is in the waiting, in the dead of winter, in the manure, the nurture, the rest, the darkness. The fruit is in all of it, sowing seeds we can't yet see. Which character in this parable do you resonate with the most? The landowner, the gardener, the fig tree? Where is doubt emerging in your life? What does doubt feel like, and how can you work to let it go? Where is hope emerging in your life? What spaces in your life need nurture, patience, and care in order to bear fruit? Last week we talked about fear, and this week we talk about moving away from that fear, and we move into cultivating some hope. Fear that the tree won't bear fruit into hope that it will. We aren't given the ending to the story. Sometimes those are my favorite types of stories. I can imagine what could possibly happen. And sometimes I'm really disappointed because I wanted to know how it was going to end. In this case, though, I'm glad that we get to imagine the different outcomes, that we can all get something different out of it, and that there is space for good to come out of nothing. We get to write the ending to this story. We have been given life as individuals and as a church. We are responsible for making the most of this life that we've been given, and we are responsible to bear fruit. The gardener doesn't just ask that the landowner wait another year without anything else happening. The gardener has an action plan. The gardener is going to change the environment around the tree to nurture it, to cultivate that growth, we hope. As God's people, we are asked to make changes in our lives. We are to challenge ourselves. How might God help you to make those changes and to implement those challenges? How will we be good stewards with what God has given us? We are to cultivate hope just like the gardener. And just like the gardener, we are to give without doubt. The gardener sees sprouts where some only see barren and unfruitful land. The gardener sees opportunities in the failures, in the impossible, and the gardener is not willing to give up yet. There's a name for this: grace. There's always a second chance, always an opening for a new beginning, a way back. When we are nourished by the living water, when we are open to and receive power from God's Spirit, life can begin to emerge, and then there will be fruit. Beware, though, the tree doesn't produce fruit only for our enjoyment. It carries fruit to survive, to pass on life. And this is why the fruit is so important. Our faith, our church needs to be able to pass the faith on to the next generation and to our neighbors. We are to take the seeds out of the fruit and to plant them for there to be new trees that will bear more fruit. What happened to the fig tree? Was the gardener successful? Did it produce fruit the following year? No one knows. It's not part of the parable, and it doesn't really matter either. What is interesting and important is that the gardener tells us that there is always a second chance. There is always hope. May we cultivate the vision of the great gardener, the one who sees us for what we are becoming, the one who tends and prunes, nourishes, and lets go. The fruit is not the ending. The fruit blossoms in the waiting, in the dead of winter, in the manure, in the nurture, the rest, the darkness. The fruit is in all of it, sowing seeds we can't yet see. There is always hope, and it must be cultivated for the future, for the kingdom of God. One of the ways this week that hope will be cultivated and moved out beyond the walls of our church are there some people going on a mission trip to Henderson Settlement. And I'd like to ask them forward so that Sherry and Ann and Randy and anyone else going from our church. Okay. And we're going to pray for them this morning. Come on up here and we'll lay hands on you and pray. If you want to raise your hands forward so that you can also reach out to them. God, we pray for those going to Henderson Settlement this week, for Ann and Randy and Sherry. We know that through them you will help sow seeds, seeds they may not yet see, but we ask that you help them. Nourish them, comfort them, challenge them, help their whole team to be gardeners extended from your hands to nurture those whose lives they'll be touching this week. Keep them safe. Be with them in each moment and may they see you throughout the week. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.